Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left. 23 left.
Will. 1, 2, 3.
It's time now for the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transit Town, unbeatable prices, trusted service. Now, here's your host, Nate Geary.
All right, good evening and welcome to the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transit Town, unbeatable prices, trusted service. The Bills, T-Bass gets the big win and... what an awesome way to end it. You know, listen, I would be lying to you if I wasn't standing in the broadcast booth with Joe DiBiase looking at him after the tying touchdown and said, you know this is going to come down to Tyler Bass's foot, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, no, I knew that. And it worked out. So that's the exciting part for both the Bills, but for Tyler Bass as well. And listen, I, you know, cliche aside and, you know, blah, 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 but... There is just something about this team this year that feels different, and the tush push for the first time unsuccessful, by the way. Tush push was stopped, in case anybody cares about that during the in initial part of this show. Anyways, I've got a ton of players on to bring you today. We'll bring you a bunch of that over the next 2 hours. We'll get your thoughts at 803-0550. You can connect with our fans, brought to you by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. I got a ton of phone lines open. Give us a shout. Let's hear what you got to say about this game. But moving forward, the trade deadline's Tuesday, 4 o'clock. So if you got a player in mind, you'd like to see the Bills add. Obviously, there's the good and the bad from this game, just like any game. The Bills struggled, I think, at times. I thought this was Tua's best game against the Bills in his career. I mean, just the ball was coming out as quick as it's ever come out. You know, they got Devon Achane involved in this game early and often, and he was just, you know, impossible to stop. They really struggled with the pass catchers out of the backfield. The good news is there's not going to be too many teams in the league that can emulate what the Dolphins did against the Bills defense today. They don't have the guns out of the backfield and the speed out of the backfield like the Miami Dolphins do. So I think there's some things you can take away from this game. The Bills are still struggling, though, to stop the run. And maybe a lot of that's by design. I thought the Bills did a good job of not getting beat over the top. They got beat one time on a 27-yard pass play, I think it was, to Tyreek Hill, who, again, does not go for 100 yards against the Bills, does not have a 100-yard game against Sean McDermott in the regular season and over the course of his career, both in Kansas City and here, of course, in Miami. So another good game from Sean McDermott in this defense, considering, you know, they lost Casey Tuhill for a portion of this game. They lost Dwayne Smoot in this game, who is one of their best run defenders on the edge. I thought that they really struggled to set the edge a lot today. They just did not do a good enough job really compressing in and forcing these running backs for the Miami Dolphins to bounce it outside where you have help on the outside. So some stuff to clean up on the defensive side of the ball, run lanes, you know, that old chestnut, those terrible narratives you always hear about teams that struggle to stop the run, and the Bills have been that team for a couple of years now, really since Sean McDermott's gotten here. And we'll see. I mean, so far it's come back to haunt them once. They ended up winning this game. That's, I think, if the demoralizing thing if you're a Dolphins fan, which I know there's probably plenty of you out there, maybe some of you listening. I know I've got several friends that are Dolphins fans. Don't worry, I texted all of them after this game. But, you know, I think the most demoralizing thing if you're a Dolphins fan is that you probably played a perfect game, especially on offense. Like, if you are a Dolphins fan, and a lot of my Dolphins fans' friends have all said the same thing, right? Like, they should be running the football more. They don't tend to stick with the run game when they should. And I think that's a big complaint of Mike McDaniels. In this game, they remained patient. They continued to run the football. That drive, that 97-yard drive after the Keon Coleman tipped interception, was impressive. And I kind of knew after that drive it was going to be a really clutch and grab sort of game and ebbs and flows, and the Bills get the turnover to start the second half, which I think really kept them in this game. I'm not sure this game goes the same direction if they don't get that turnover to start the second half. Truly, I thought the Dolphins played a good enough game to win, and at the end of the day, Josh Allen on the offense made plays when it mattered. Tyler Bass obviously hits a career long and I think I heard it was Sean McDermott say it was a franchise record 61-yard field goal to win the game. And like, all in all, it's one of those things that I consider I guess we can go to the phones. We'll go to David. I accidentally clicked on him and I can't click off of him. So David, you're on the Overtime Show. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Nate, how you doing?
First good, buddy.
Caller, appreciate it. Just to, you know, pick a bone, forgetting about the field goal by Bass, it was great. Longest in Bills history, as we all know. But the thing that really disturbs me about this team week after week is the trenches. Today, I just felt that the Dolphins beat us up from their offensive line standpoint to our defensive line. We hardly could even touch Tua. The only sack, I believe, was by Russo when Tua fell down. I'm watching that Jet game the other night, 8 sacks on Stroud. I don't even think we breathed on Stroud when we played Houston this year. I mean, I think the thing that bothers me about this defensive line is the lack of consistency week after week. You know, you'll see Russo show up maybe twice during the year, Oliver the same thing. Epinesa is like a ghost half the time. Von Miller, it's the worst contract Bean's ever put together. I know he was out there today, but I hardly even heard his name. Whether they're going to do something at the trade deadline, I'll be honest with you, Nate, I don't think they're going to do anything at the trade deadline, but I have to pick a bone with Mike and Bulldog, who made the comment moments ago that Smith or Clowney or Garrett aren't really going to help this team if we went after any of them. I think any one of those three guys is an upgrade over what we have in the defensive line right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, listen, David, I think so. Slightly overcritical, if I can, because what was my nickname 2 weeks ago? TJ, what did the caller say about me? Did he call me Mr. Critical?
Mr. Critical or Mr. Cynical, something like that.
Yeah, something ultra patronizing. It was awesome. I got to tell you, the defensive line's not really been a problem. They're top 10 in sacks. Greg Rousseau's top 5 in pressure rate. Tua gets rid of the football quicker than any quarterback in the league. They don't give up sacks, not because their offensive line's good, but because Tua gets rid of the football quicker than any quarterback in football. I'm not at all. If the Bills go into the rest of the season and decide not to make a move and they go in with this defensive line, short of any injuries, knock on wood, I think they'll be fine defensively, across the defensive line. You know what? They didn't get after Stroud as much in that game. They also didn't have Taron Johnson. They also didn't have Terrell Bernard. They didn't have Von Miller in that game. So, yeah, I mean, when you are missing a bunch of pieces on the defensive side of the ball, sometimes you're going to struggle. But I think at the end of the day that the Bills' offensive line dominated the Dolphins' defensive line much of this game. So did they lose the line of scrimmage? No. If they lost the line of scrimmage, they could have lost the game. I think it's a little overly critical considering the Bills right now are 7-2 in second place in the AFC. You know, they were able to, in my opinion, overcome their toughest test to date in terms of a close game with this Dolphins team. And, you know, yeah, they didn't maybe get after Tua the way, but no one's sacking Tua 3 or 4 times in a game. It just doesn't really happen. He gets rid of the ball too quickly. It's the whole point of that offense. That's why they went into the season. There's a quote that, you know, when they didn't go out and sign somebody because they lost Robert Hunt, Tua said, I'm not too worried. I get rid of the ball quickly. And that's their philosophy. They want to get rid of the football, and they don't have to worry about the pass rush. The Bills could have tried to blitz them more to get after them, but week in and week out, listen, no defensive line's perfect. I think if you want to go out and get Clowney, I could be talked into that. Absolutely. He doesn't seem like a guy that's going to cost a crazy amount of money or picks. But if you want to go out and get an edge-setting run defender, I'm all ears on that. We'll see, because they may not have to make a roster move. Dwayne Smoot, you know, depending on what the injury to his hand is, or wrist, I think it was, at least that was the official designation. It sounded like a wrist injury. He did not return. He went back to the locker room. So we'll see what, you know, how this week holds with Dwayne Smoot. And obviously Dwayne Carter also out with a wrist injury. So, yeah, I mean, if they want to make a move on the defensive line, I certainly would welcome it. I think they can go defensive tackle or edge with an eye towards they need, I think, another true edge-setting run defender. And I'd be good with that. Do they need to do it? No. But I think if they do, they'd only be helping themselves. I don't see a Myles Garrett trade in their future. I wouldn't really like to see the Bills trading a future first-round pick, which is what you'd have to do to get Myles Garrett. And it might be more than that, to be quite honest. So, yeah, listen, all in all, David, I just think we're maybe missing the boat on a game-winning 61-yard field goal and, you know, hammering them for not getting to two or more. I don't know. I think it's a little short-sighted. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Paul.
Hey, what's going on, Nate? One thing I wanted to touch on was McDermott's game management, talking about out of the two-minute warning, they run down Achane to like the three, and they should have just called it and let him score, walk it in and score. McDermott, they run it again to the right with Achane. McDermott burns a timeout, and they could have saved that. It would have given them 152 to go down for the field goal. And the next play they score, and then that kind of limits them and hinders them on the ensuing drive down to the field goal. It doesn't really allow them to go underneath and across the middle. I don't know. A win's a win, and, you know, you love to see it against the Dolphins. And then one other thing I want to just say is Taron Johnson, what a punch out to start the half, especially after those phantom holding calls. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, those were some bad calls, Paul. There's no doubt about that. Those were two absolutely terrible holding calls. Three of, like, you expect maybe one of those three calls maybe going against you in a game like this. Those were three single game terrible calls. Like, you get one call like that a game and you can live with it. You got three. You got two back to back. Those were really, really bad calls. Two of the two holdings were just terrible. I don't know. Like, you know me, if you listen to me, I'd be the first to criticize Sean McDermott when it's warranted. They left plenty of time. They kicked a game-winning field goal with 5 seconds left. I don't know what else you could really want. I mean, you could let them score, I guess. But you also maybe want to try to stop them. The defense stopped last week, the Seattle Seahawks, after giving up a turnover inside the red zone. I don't know. I'm not hammering McDermott at all today. I think McDermott coached a great game. I think I think the time management was fine. I got no qualms. I have no problems with the time management today. So thanks for the call, man. Let's go to Bob. Bob, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Bob.
Hey, you know, it's interesting that the previous caller, I don't know what team he's watching. If you look at the way the Bills defensive line has played from the very beginning of the season up until today, they have been stellar. Now, granted, they're dealing with a quarterback that has gotten rid of the ball quick. You know, but the biggest problem we had on defense was not the line. I watched the game with two defensive coaches. It was a second level. It was our linebacking play. You know what I mean? Our second level. We had a tough time tackling. We had a tough time converging on the ball. But the defensive line, they've been playing great all year. So I'm not sure where the complaints are with them, number one. Number two, what does Miami have to do to beat us? I mean, we played a pretty bad game today. They had every opportunity in the world, especially on fourth down, fourth and four on the 6-yard line. Why wouldn't you go for it? I mean, you haven't beaten this team. You beat this team once.
Or go for the two-point conversion, Bob. Why wouldn't they go for two?
Try to beat us, for God's sakes. But it was a great win. I'm just really happy with Tyler Bass and, you know, being able to, I see a lot of Facebook posts, oh, let's get rid of him, let's get rid of him. And all of a sudden he gets a the longest kick in Buffalo Bills history.
That's awesome.
It was just so cool to see. I loved it.
Totally. I agree, Bob. Listen, I don't agree on the Bernard point. If you want to talk about guys that struggled at the second level, I thought at times this happened. Listen, Dorian Williams is still a developing player. He's still a very young player. He's learning on the job, essentially, right? He makes one or two plays a game where you're like, it's frustrating in the wrong place at the wrong time, out of position. There was a Tyreek Hill catch over the middle of the field. I think it was like a 20-yard play over the middle of the field where him and Bernard were just in miscommunication. I'm not of the opinion that the problem in the run game today was the second level. The defensive line struggled today. Ed Oliver's had a little bit of a weird season. Ed Oliver is a penetrating three technique defensive lineman, right? Defensive tackle. And at times, offenses can use that against him, right? Offenses can game plan around a guy that flies up the field. He's particularly susceptible in the screen game, and the cutback game and the trap game. And, you know, today a couple of times I thought he over-pursued. I also think it was a tough game for Greg Rousseau on the edge. They were not setting the edge. They were not crashing down and really forcing the running backs for the Dolphins to break things out on the outside. They were getting what they wanted. There were pretty big holes, and the offensive linemen for the Miami Dolphins were able to get to the second level and get hands-on Bernard and Dorian Williams without getting much without having much resistance at the defensive line level. So I agree to disagree kind of thing. I thought Bernard played a really darn good game. I thought Dorian Williams, he had like 12 tackles midway through the third quarter. He played a heck of a game. But there's always a game or player to every game that you're like, Dorian Williams sort of still looks like a rookie at times, or still looks like he's, you know, not fully understanding where he's supposed to be and when he's supposed to be there. So something to keep an eye on and watch moving forward. But all in all, they got some things to clean up defensively, but, you know, I'm not overly concerned about that. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Mike.
Yes, I just wanted to kind of comment about the defense and the run defense. You know, obviously we had that issue with Baltimore earlier this year. And if I remember that, I think we even had the first time we played Miami, they were able to run the ball pretty efficiently. It's just, I think it's a combination of, I kind of wonder about our size at the linebacker position and even maybe some of the, defensive line, like you touched on Oliver there. And it just seemed like there was guys in the catching the ball, whether it was screen passes or what have you, and there was a whole lot of real estate when these guys were catching the ball. And I'm thinking to myself, where is everybody? And it just, to me, I mean, I just don't know if DeMar Hamlin is the answer at safety. I kind of wonder about him a little bit. You know, I kind of compare, you know, some of our linebackers to Lambert back in the 70s. He used to play for Pittsburgh. And he used to get a lot of credit, but the problem with Lambert, they used to call him the TV linebacker. He would look good on TV because he'd make a lot of tackles, but the problem was it was always, 10, 15, 20 yards down the field. And that's kind of the issue that I'm having. And then my second point would be, what was going on with some of that play calling there on that game-winning drive? I was kind of looking.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why they see seemingly had a little bit of time to use the middle of the field there. I was wondering where Shakir was there. I would like him to run maybe a little slant or, you know, a shallow cross there rather than trying to use. I realize he only had the one timeout, but it's like it's seemingly they could have got down and had enough time to get up and spike the ball and at least give, you know, the field goal a little bit better chance of making it at that point.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. We'll start on the run defense part. They want to run the ball, the Miami Dolphins, right? They want to run the ball. The Bills, I don't think, are undersized at linebacker. I think they're pretty average when you look across the league. The linebacker position across the league is smaller and fast. I mean, that's just where teams have gone. Again, I think if I'm going to put anything on the run game, or the reason the run game had so much success for the Dolphins was because I thought they struggled to set the edge today. Some of that's on the defensive ends. So, yeah, for the linebacker play was fine. Also, you know, God, we could, you know, I mean, listen, if you guys want to talk about all the things you're upset about, feel free. I mean, that's what the show's for. But you guys could talk about, like, what you liked, too. You know, the Bills, they did win. It was fun. People drank. We had good times. It was my I forgot. I've got to shout out my friend Erin Ann, it's her birthday today. She was in the stands up in section 316 enjoying the game tonight. So happy birthday, Erin Ann, because it's her birthday. So congratulations on going there and seeing a great game and a 61-yard game-winning field goal. But you guys could have a little more fun with it. You know, you don't have to call in and tell me what you hate. You could say, hey, Nate, you know, but like maybe I like the game a little. I don't know. We'll see. Let's go to Neil. Neil, you're on the Overtime Show. Neil, what kind of positivity do you got for me tonight, Neil?
Nate, in our long time that we've spoken together, does the word positivity always come from my mouth?
Listen, I saw your name on the thing, and I go, you know what? I'm going to go to Neil here.
I thought you knew me, Nate. You cut me real deep, Shrek. Thanks for taking my
call. You're welcome, buddy.
Before I get to my point, Sean McDermott in the press conference talked about how Tyler Bass has been suffering and what a difficult week. I'm sorry, is he a nurse or a doctor in an emergency room or a soldier coming back from wartime? Can we curb the enthusiasm a little bit about he's paid to kick a ball for 4 years at $5 million a year? That's his job. Your job is to talk about sports. A teacher's job is to teach it. That's his job. And quite frankly, he hasn't been great at his job. I was ecstatic when he kicked my girlfriend, who knows football, we were watching, and before I could open my mouth, she said, he's going to miss it. And I said, yep, you're right. And I was expecting to go to overtime. But can we, like, calm down a little bit, Sean McDermott, about suffering of the kicker like he's on the cross? I just thought that was a little bit much. On to the game. It was a little bit much. On to the game. Tua Tagovailoa must have – his soul died. There was a photo that the cameras caught where it's like, what do I have to do to beat this team? The guy was 22 or 25. He played
a heck of a game, yeah.
A phenomenal game. The running game, that outside run, they ran really well to the outside. There was a lot of space of the running backs for catching balls in space. They did everything they could and probably have the best game plan to beat us, and they still couldn't beat us. I think Josh Allen had a good game. I think he was hurt on a couple of those throws because he was really inaccurate on about a 4 or 5-throw stretch where he's usually making that throw on a dime.
So yeah.
He had a good game. I hope he – you know, but there was a little stretch in the second half where he just – like, there were guys that were wide open. He was, like, just low-throwing him. Like, he obviously had some kind of another injury. The run – and I'll say this. I actually think – I love the fact that we have the James Cook-Ray Davis combo, but I think we need to flip the order of the carries. I think James Cook is more of the complementary back to Ray Davis, and I think he fits better with what Joe Brady wants to do. Because if we're going to run between the tackles and have pass catchers, you know, Ray Davis is more physical. He's a guy that can carry a workload. Do you think that going forward, whether it's this year or next year, do you think they'll actually flip the equation where Ray Davis gets more carries than James Cook?
No, I don't. And thanks for the call, Neil. I don't, for a couple of reasons. James Cook is a very good player. I think they're just a very good complement. I think he's the more explosive athlete. There's no question about that. I think he's the better pass catcher. But listen, it's a fair point to ask. I just think that this is an offense that's going to largely, James Cook's going to be about 65% of the touches. You know, I think, and Ray Davis might hop in there for 20% of the 25%. And then, you know, a couple of game to Ty Johnson as well. So, I don't think that's going to be something that happens. It's not something I would look towards happening. But at the end of the day, they have one of the best situations in the NFL in terms of their – I think they have the best running back room in the league. There are better singular running backs, but they have the best running back room in the league, in my opinion. Thanks for the call, Neil. 803-0550, that's the number to call. We've got Locker Room Sound coming on the other side, but tomorrow on WGR, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe breaking the game down in the morning, then the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio at 10, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon, Shope and Bulldog at 3. They'll have Eric Wood with them at 4, and then 8 p.m., Westwood One presents Bucks at the Chiefs. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. We'll get you eye on the quarterback coming up, get you some live player sound, all that and more here on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transitown, unbeatable prices, trusted service.
Work hard, hat on, lunch pail. He does what he has to do. You know, that's a true professional there. Nothing's going to be easy in life, especially for a kicker. You to go out there and you have to make a huge, huge kick to win the game. Again, we have all the confidence in T-Bass, and he has all the confidence in himself. So, you know, to go out there and hit a 61-yarder, I think it was, it just shows that he's prepared for this moment. He believes in himself. The whole city of Buffalo believes in him, and we believe in him too as an organization.
All right, welcome back to the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nate Geary. That was Lamborghini Ray, as Josh Allen calls him, which is probably the best nickname I've ever heard in my entire life. Tonight at 8 p.m., immediately following this show, for those keeping track at home, on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Colts at the Vikings. The Colts, by the way, who will be the Bills' next week opponent on the road, 1 p.m. kick. You can hear right here on WGR. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. And by Armor Heat, do it right the first time. Before we get back to the phones and get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, get to your local Verizon store today. Let's get a quick eye on the quarterback, and it's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. And my eye on the quarterback is for Josh Allen, who ends up finishing this game, if you give me a moment, because I had to reload my screen, 25 of 39 for 235 yards, 3 touchdowns, an interception that definitely should not have been an interception. He was sacked once, had a QBR of 69, very nice, and a passer rating of 95.6. So there's your eye on the quarterback. Let's get reconnected with the fans. Let's go to Mike, who's been waiting patiently. Mike, you are on the Overtime Show. Good evening to you, sir.
Hey, great win. You know, to be able to pull the game and kick the field goal for Tyler Bass after he missed some extra points, you know, great focus on his part. I got to admit, I thought maybe if he did not make that kick or didn't get the opportunity, his job would have been in jeopardy come Monday. That's what I was thinking, but he made it, and that's something that can galvanize the team. But the offense, in my opinion, they have to get Ray Davis more involved. Somehow, some way. I know the last caller just talked about it. I'm not saying they have to start him over James Cook, but they really got to probably make this a 50-50 split. Every mistake James Cook does in the passing game, it just amplifies my, hey, let's make this switch. Dropping that pass, which seems to be James Cook's Achilles heel, you know, it doesn't help his case for continuing to be the starter. And I do agree with you. We probably have the best running back room in the whole NFL. With that said, they need to get Khalil Shakir. I know they do get him involved, but boy, is he special. To me, he seems like Cole Beasley on steroids. He's very similar route concepts running with him, but when he gets the ball, boy, does he have some wheels, and he is as slippery as I've seen. I think I saw like a stat on TV where 95% of Josh Allen's throws or targets are getting caught by Khalil Shakir, so you almost know it's going to be a guaranteed catch. looking at something like that. So my hat's off to the Bills for, you know, pulling it together and winning. But yeah, those are my thoughts on the game.
Thanks for the call, Mike. 30 going into this game, it was 36 of 38 targets caught. He's first in the league in catch percentage. The next closest receiver, I think, is like 21st in that group. It's usually filled with running backs and guys that get those short little dump off plays. The one thing I'll mention, you talked about Cole Beasley on steroids. I like the comparison. He's got a little Cole Beasley in him. He's like if Cole Beasley and Deebo Samuel and like John Brown had a baby together. And that baby was named Khalil. Like, he's got the yards after catch ability. Listen, though, I've got something. And if I'm thinking this, I'm sure other defensive coordinators are thinking this. But there was a screen pass to Shakir today that almost got picked off that was super close. And I thought to myself, if I'm Joe Brady, that's going in my back pocket because I'm hitting him with a pump on that one and then a go up the sidelines, hopefully to Amari Cooper, who will be back next week with if all things are good with his wrist. I largely think him and Benford were both luxury inactives today. They probably could have played if they had to, but I think the Bills got bigger plans, and I think the Bills thought that they could take care of the Dolphins. It was a close game, there's no doubt, but I think they wanted to give a couple of guys an opportunity to get a week's break, and we'll see if that ends up helping them towards the end of the year. Let's go back to the phones. Thanks for the call, Mike. Let's go to another Mike. Mike, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening to you, Mike. Thanks for hanging out on hold.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening to you, sir. Man, I'm calling you from Richmond, Virginia. We had a great game. Bills backers, outdoors, had a big screen.
Nice.
So I hit you with positivity, man. Great time. And one other note, first game I ever went to was playoffs, Kelly and Marino. Fantastic. So I do have a question, though, about all these penalties. Past couple games, it seems very like inconsistent, erratic, these referees. And I'm wondering, you know, how much do you feel it's on them? How much do you feel it's on the Bills? And also, my last question, how much, you know, with this Vegas betting, you think any of that comes into with the referees' minds or anything like that, man? Because it seems like the wildest officiating I've ever seen in my entire time. And I'm going to let it go at that. Thank you for letting me speak.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. And I think refereeing has been bad for a very long time in the NFL. That's just the way she goes, right? But what I will say is they were the victim of three bad calls. They tend to even out by the end of the year. The Bills will get a bad call. It'll help them down the line, I'm sure. I don't think it has anything to do with gambling. I don't think it has anything to do with that. By the way, I was out of town last week for the Seahawks game. I was in South Carolina. Got a chance to go to my first Bills backer bar experience. It was awesome. The North Myrtle Beach Bills backer at the OD Lounge and Arcade in North Myrtle Beach. It was awesome. Mike Meyer, who runs the Myrtle Beach chapter, was insanely cordial for us. Got a seating for 30 guys that were on our golf trip. We had an absolute blast, a ton of fun. Obviously doing this on Sundays and for Bills game day, I don't get to spend a lot of time traveling, going to other cities and checking out Bills backer. It was my first experience at a Bills backer for a Bills game, and it was awesome. I can't, recommend if you're traveling and during Bills season and want to watch the Bills game at a Bills backer bar, just like go do it. It was an awesome experience, and really indebted to Mr. Meyer, who runs the Bills backer in North Myrtle. We're going to take one more phone call before we go to the locker room. When we go to the locker room, we're going to hear from Bills long snapper Reed Ferguson. Before we do that, let's go to Steven. Steven, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening to you, Steven. Thanks for waiting on hold. What do you got?
Yeah, absolutely. Good evening. I just wanted to call in with a little positivity. Something I haven't heard. And all these calls that have been coming in, this was a divisional rival. And although we've handled Miami somewhat soundly, that's the exception to the rule across the NFL when you get in these division games. These division games are typically hard fought like the game was today. And I just think, a win is a win. They battled. They fought through some things. 7-2, and we're on to the next one. The only thing I would say, and I haven't heard anybody talk about this either, was Joe Brady. Just some questions with respect. There was that 3rd-and-3 that Allen ran the sweep, and, with these weapons like Shakir, like Cook, like Davis, I just saw maybe overthinking a few things, and that game might have been a different game, too. We scored there, the interception. You know, we were inside the red zone several times, you know, that we sort of shot ourselves in the foot. So, divisional game, got the win, on to Indy. Go Bills.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Steven. Yeah, it could have been a very different game. It could have been I thought it could have been a blowout. It's I'm not necessarily trending that way, but, you know, the Bills get the touchdown instead of, you know, having the interception bounce off Keon Coleman's face mask. You know, it could have been a very different game. There's no doubt about it. All right, let's go to the locker room and hear from Bills long snapper Reed Ferguson. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services for your HVAC plumbing and electrical needs.
The team and the coaching staff and his teammates having him. And I think you can see it after the kick. You know, I look back and I was a little ways down the field, like chasing the ball after, because I 61, you know, you have to jog a little bit. It's a little, you know, long kick, but I look back and it seemed like the whole team was off the sideline giving him a big hug and huddling around him. So he's definitely not going to forget that. And I think that's just a testament to how much guys love T-Bass and how much, you know, he's been fighting to kind of get over this hump.
You've been around on more than a few kickers. How challenging is it to remain in that mindset positively?
Yeah. You know, it is challenging because when you're looking at guys who score points, right, for the team, you're looking at quarterback, some of the skill guys, and the kicker, right? They're kind of the public figures for the team in terms of, you know, putting points on the scoreboard. So when you miss some opportunities, you know, the public eye can shine on you probably a little more than you want to. So I think it's, you know, and I keep thinking about, like, our stadium kicking towards the scoreboard, right? Like, for those people that know, normally that is a huge disadvantage because the wind comes in that way. It's really hard. You know, it's much easier to make a kick towards the tunnel. So, you know, 61 towards the scoreboard is like is a little bit of an anomaly, especially in our stadium. So for him to have the confidence to go out and do that, and we kicked down there in the stadium this week, and he made some long kicks both ways. So we know he can do it. But you know, on game day, coach having the faith in him to send him out there with the game on the line, and right there with a couple seconds left, I think speaks volumes.
You know this rivalry intimately because your brother's on the other side. What does it mean to have a sweep of a division opponent here midway through the season?
Sure. I think two things, you know, talk about the easiest path to the playoffs, winning your home games and winning your division games. And this is you're killing two birds with one stone with a game like this. So, it means a ton. It's very hard to beat teams twice. And, you know, we know that, you know, across the league, that's pretty well known. So to get two, be 3-0 in the division is a huge step for us.
Reese, how to walk out there with the
All right, there is Bills long snapper Reed Ferguson following the Bills 30-27 victory over the Miami Dolphins. We're going to take a timeout, and on the other side, we'll continue taking phone calls and get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. The number is 803-0550. I'm Nate Geary. This is the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show on WGR.
Blitz coming. Wide open, Ray Davis. 45-50. 45-40. Still on his feet. He's going to go. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Ray Davis. 63 yards.
Chris Brown on the call on the Lamborghini Ray. I'll just keep using the nickname that Josh Allen mentioned. Lamborghini Ray, Ray Davis on the touchdown catch. 70 yards receiving today for the rookie back. Welcome back to the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transit Town, unbeatable prices, trusted service. A reminder that tomorrow on WGR, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank. for what's next, get started at Northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe breaking the game down in the morning. The Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio at 10, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown, Steve Tasker at noon, Chopin Bulldog at 3. They'll have Eric Wood with them at 4 for their weekly segment. And 8 p.m., Westwood One presents the Bucks at the Chiefs. Buffalo Bills football Monday, all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Before we go back to the locker room for some sound, let's go to Robert, who's been waiting patiently. Robert, you're on the Overtime Show, and good evening to you. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, my question was just about the tight ends. Obviously, I know we got Kincaid, first-round pick. Knox makes a ton of money. I think they both should be on the field as much as possible. But my question is, why is every time we see Quinton Morris, he scores a touchdown?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he needs like a nickname, like Touchdown Q or something. I don't know. Yeah, he makes plays when he's asked upon. You know, they have a great situation in Buffalo, I think, at running back and also at tight end. If Knox or Kincaid goes down, I think they feel very good if Quinton Morris has to go out there and play extended time. I think they're unique in that. There aren't many teams that can roll three tight ends out there week in and week out. And frankly, Morris is a core special teams player as well, which is why he's still on the team.
Good point, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Robert. Appreciate you, buddy. Let's go to Clinton. Clinton, you are on the Overtime Show. Good evening to you.
Yes, indeed. Good evening, guys. How are you? If anybody's still getting back from the game tonight, hats off to you. You have some patience. My son and I are watching a Bills game tonight. I'm down here in South Carolina from Binghamton. Go Bills, by the way. He's a four-year-old kid. Go Bills! Do it, buddy. He's not doing. But anyway,
well, you know, it's like a dog. It's hard to get him on demand, you know.
I know. Yeah, actually, I think he's peeing on the floor right now.
That's good.
I know. Kevin Harlan. I love the guy. He's a great broadcast. But every time he is doing our games, I feel like it's a close game. It's a Bills loss. Does anybody else out there feel this way? Who's watching these games? I'm down here. I'm watching the games in South Carolina. But I like Kevin Harlan, but I don't know about that. That's one thing for me. Number one question: is there any statistic on Kevin Harlan and the Bills losing games while he's calling those games on CBS? And number two, what do the fans think about Bass? I love him. I hate him. You could make a 60-yard. You hit and then it'll lose an extra point. That's it. I'm off. I love you guys. Go Bills.
Yeah,
go
thanks.
Bills.
Thanks for the call, Clinton. Yeah, listen, I met Kevin Harlan today in the broadcast booth. He is probably one of my favorite play-by-play announcers in any sport. You know, he's unbelievable in the NBA. I mean, really good in the NFL as well. But he is arguably pound for pound one of my favorite play-by-play announcers in the industry. There's no doubt about it. Let's go to the locker room and hear from Bills wide receiver Mac Hollins. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services for your HVAC, plumbing, and electric needs.
Which is great. You know, we were able to run the ball kind of down the field and just run after run after run. So they put me in position to be able to get an easy touchdown.
You're kind of just running straight. Safety or cornerback was just chasing you all the way across the field, right? Kind of like you think they were, and then they were running Shakir on the motion the other way.
Yeah, but I think the run game is what set that up. I think they probably expected run, but you can't succeed on that play unless you have a successful run game going down, and we had successful plays, so they all lean on each other.
From your perspective, what was it like to watch Tyler not only in the game have that moment, but in here with all of you guys celebrating with him?
Yeah, it was awesome. Obviously, I wasn't here. It's my first year here. But I know how much the guys here lean on each other, not only T-Bass, but everybody, and how much of a family it is here. And everything he said, what he really meant, the impact that guys have had on him and the confidence that he's been able to have to be able to do things like that. Like, that's a hell of a kick. Like, no matter what his past was, that's a hell of a kick. But then for him to do that with his past and go – put all that stuff to bed and move on to the next kick, go win us a game, is exceptional.
Mac, take me through the final drive, a couple critical catches you had. What's the mindset going into that drive, what you're trying to accomplish?
Just keep us on the field. Keep us on the field as long as we can. Get us a new set of downs. And Josh is going to trust his guys. And that's kind of the work. I was saying it to Joe Brady after the game. Like, that's why we put the work in training camp. You don't know when that opportunity might come or when that route might come or when that run might come. but you always have to be ready for it.
On the touchdown, is that something that you can only really run that play once maybe during a game, so you have to be very choosy when you can pull it out?
Yeah, for sure. And kind of mention about the run game, how that sets that up. Like, that play doesn't work. You can't just run that as an opener in a game. I mean, maybe you could, but it would be very hard. You have to get the defense to be aggressive and respect your run game. If you don't set up the run, if the O-line's not doing what they were able to do today, like, that play doesn't work.
On Quentin's touchdown, Josh does what Josh does, right? I mean, how important is it and to see to be available all the time until that play, that whistle goes?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I actually had to learn. It was like, Josh will find some stuff that you're like, oh, this play's over. And you're like, oh, it's not over. Josh will somehow do it. And I kind of figured that out in training camp. I remember calling some of my guys like, yo, this dude will just like, play's well over and somehow the ball's in you. So like, you can't just cancel the play. You can't say, oh, it's over. And that was the epitome of Josh being Josh.
I've been with him for half a season. He plays.
All right, that is Bills wide receiver Mac Hollins following the 30-27 victory. A guy that played quite a big part in this game. Obviously, in that last drive, Keon Coleman goes down after the dirty hit that Jordan Poyer put on him, and had a couple of big catches, 5 for 30 and a score in this game. Played a big part, there's no doubt. And he's, I mean, just an ideal fourth or fifth wide receiver. And he's been great when called upon. Let's go to Denny, who's been waiting patiently. Denny, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening to you. Thanks for holding.
Hey, how you doing? Denny from Lancaster. Yeah, I just want to I want to ask you guys about Tyler Bass tonight. He hit the big kick, but he did miss the extra point. Been struggling all year. Do we think this is our guy going forward? I mean, that was a big kick. Let's call a spade a spade. Do we think he's our guy going forward?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Denny. I would think so. I there's not a lot of other options out there. They signed the guy to the practice squad, I think, just for the sake of saying you got to be better. Miss the extra or makes the extra point, no doubt about it. Those got to be money. But the game winner was good, man. 61 yards. I hope that helps kind of push him along and bring some confidence back to him and to his game, because he could use it. All right, tonight at 8 p.m. on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Colts at the Vikings. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, and by Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. More reaction for the Bills' locker room with, Quentin Morris, Taron Johnson. We'll hear from Tyler Bass, Josh Allen. We got a whole bunch to get to on the other side. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transit Town, unbeatable prices, trusted service. I'm Nate Geary. This is WGR. All right, welcome back to the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. As you heard from Todd, I'm Nate Geary. TJ Luckman on the board playing your beats. Got another hour coming your way here. The Sunday afternoon late game stretch is coming to a close. There are a couple of decent games, not much very good. The Cardinals up 29-9. The Cardinals are turning into a good win for the Bills. They are whooping the Chicago Bears, and they're coming off a win against the Dolphins. They're about to be 5-4. They got the Jets next week, and everybody in Jetland just thinks they're going to win that game. I'm not convinced. The Cardinals might be a pretty decent football team. With a win, I'm pretty sure they're going to be in first place, sole possession of first place in the NFC West. The Lions are up 24-6. They're about to go to 7-1 on the season and starting to run away, if you ask me, with that NFC North division. The Rams just scored. They're up 20-13 over the Seahawks. Let's see here. Any other ones? Jags just scored. I believe it was Trevor Lawrence's second rushing touchdown of the game. Cuts that Eagles lead to 5. It's 28-23 with 4:04 left in the fourth quarter. That Cardinals game just became final. So it's a 29-9 victory over the Chicago Bears. Let's go through some of the 1 o'clock games while we're here. Bengals get 5 touchdowns from Joe Burrow. They beat the Las Vegas Raiders 41-24. The Falcons probably bury the Cowboys season when you consider a hamstring injury that got Dak out of the game and then an AC joint injury, which is going to require an MRI for CeeDee Lamb. The Cowboys fall to 3-5 on the season, 27-21. Chargers, they moved to 5-3, looking pretty good so far this season. The Chargers get another one, 27-10 over the Browns. The Patriots lose in overtime to the Titans. Both teams now at 2 wins. The Titans win 20-17. Commanders 27, Giants 22. They're 7-2. The Commanders, watch out. Another good game from Jaden Daniels, 209 and 2 scores from the rookie quarterback, who I think all but has that rookie of the year locked up. And then in Carolina, the Panthers get their second win of the season. Bryce Young, a nice little bounce back game for Bryce Young, and maybe he's earned himself another start. They beat the Saints, who probably should fire everybody and trade the Bills' Cam Jordan. They lost 23-22, and then the Ravens, they boat raced the Denver Broncos. It was a 9.5-point spread going into that game. It felt maybe you want to take the Denver Broncos in that 9.5-point spread. Luckily, I didn't. 41-10, Ravens roll in that one. So as of right now, the only game really in question, two games in question, 11 minutes left in the fourth. Rams again, 20-13 over the Seahawks. You can catch that on Fox, I believe. And then the Eagles and Jaguars, it's just ticking under 4 minutes now, 5-point game with the Eagles with a chance to run the clock out and get another win there and move to a game back of the Commanders. All right, so that does it for your check around the league. I don't have a sponsor for it, but you know, you're welcome for getting you updated, I guess. Tomorrow on WGR, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe in the morning, breaking things down for you. Then the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio at 10. It'll have, and then followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown, Steve Tasker at noon, Chopin Bulldog at 3. They'll have Eric Wood joining them at 4, like he does every week. And then at 8 p.m., Westwood One presents the Bucks at the Chiefs. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. We got a bunch of locker room sound to get to, so we're going to get started here. We're going to go to Bills tight end Quentin Morris. That's coming up here. And it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services for your HVAC, plumbing, and electric needs.
Can you take us through your touchdown play, just what you saw on it?
That wasn't supposed to happen, but the play just broke down, and I seen it, you know, breaking down, and I just turned around and locked eyes with Josh, and he looked at me, and I was like, "That's why you got to stay alive with 17. You never know; he'll find you." So, just grateful for the opportunity.
Was that designed to go to Dawson in the back of the end zone? It looked like at first.
Yeah, I believe it was designed to go to Dawson, but like I said, the play just broke down, and again with 17, just going to find a way.
So you're blocking down on the play action.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to leak out, or you block down and leak out, or was that an improvise by you?
Like I said, it was improvised.
And then, did you see the defensive tackles on you? How many times have you been covered on a pass pattern by a 330-pounder?
I wouldn't even say he was covering me. I think it just happened like that with the play breaking down. He was probably just looking for somebody to find.
So. Were you surprised Josh pulled the trigger?
I don't think it's surprising me anymore. Josh is just going to find a way to make a play, so just keep my eyes on him, and we locked eyes right there, and I'm just, you know, blessed he gave me an opportunity to make a play. So.
Quentin, only 6 points in the first half. What was the difference in the second half for you guys?
Really just execution. I mean, just staying with it. I mean, obviously we don't want to start off slow, but, you know, it happens like that. It's the game of football, and just the idea is not to panic and, you know, keep playing and, you know, we came out with the dub.
What did Josh say to you when he came into the end zone? He looked pretty animated.
Oh, he was just excited. The celebration just, I think just the everybody eats mentality. We were talking about it, you know, a few weeks ago. And he was just happy for me to get the opportunity to get in the end zone. So I loved it.
To that point, you, Ray, Mack, all scoring. What does it say about you guys just making the most of your opportunities?
Again, it's that everybody eats mentality. You just never know. It can, when it's going to be your day, and whenever your time comes, just make sure you show up.
What does that mean for the offense when you guys can play like that?
I mean, we're endless with weapons. Again, you never know when it's going to be your time. And again, with 17 back there, just stay alert.
61-yarder from Tyler Bass. Just take me, what are you looking at? What are you feeling at that moment?
I mean, just even walking out there, I'm just like, I just know this is going in. I mean, he's just been through so much, and again, just to have that opportunity there at the end.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare.
Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Literally, there was like no doubt in my mind. I was like, this is going in. And
all right, there's Q, Quentin Morris. By the way, a buddy of mine who goes by the name Cliff Swick texted me and rightfully corrected me. I was calling Ray Davis Lamborghini Ray. It was Rari Ray. Idiot. Leave it to my friends to make sure that I'm correct. If this I'm wrong, they will call you, me huh? out. Right. I mean, well, you should trust me.
I know, because you have these friends.
I've got fact checkers, right? I mean, you get it. You get it, TJ.
I got you.
It's basically you, too. I mean, you fact check me on demand.
Yeah, I can do it in real time sometimes, too. It's real fun. Not right now, though.
He doesn't just have a pretty face, and he doesn't just play great beats, folks. Although he does do that as well. let's go to the locker room. Let's hear from Bill's slot corner. Taron Johnson, who had another great game. Taron Johnson from the locker room, and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services for your HVAC, plumbing, and electric needs.
Any kind of way, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's a close game, whether it's a blowout, like I feel like we can win any kind of way, and that just shows what our team is. And hopefully we get some guys back that were injured coming play for us next week.
Thank you. Taron, you know how important division games are, how important home games are when you couple it up. To sweep a division opponent midway through the year, how big is that for you guys?
It's huge. You know what I'm saying? That's a great team over there. You know what I'm saying? A lot of talent. I don't care what the record says. So they're a really good team. So I'm just happy we beat them both times.
Jalen Waddle didn't have a catch until the final drive. Mm-hmm. What was the key to slowing him down today?
I feel like it was just a collective effort. Everybody, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, the people that were on him did an amazing job with him. And they were really trying to run the ball, establish the run a lot most of the game. So I thought we did a good job.
Tell me what's going through your mind when Tyler runs out for the 61-yarder, and then as you see it, off his foot.
I hope he makes it. Like, really, and he did. You know what I'm saying? Huge shout-out to Tyler, man, because that's unbelievable kick in a pressure situation. You know what I'm saying? I know he dreams about situations like that and being able to come out on top with him, and he did. So just amazing play.
Thanks, Taron.
Yep, thank you.
All right, Bill's corner, Taron Johnson, and – you know, obviously the thing that everyone's going to talk about from this game is going to be the Tyler Bass field goal. And, you know, I know Neil was earlier, one of our callers, one of my regulars here on the overtime show, was, you know, maybe being slightly critical of the feel-good story that is the Tyler Bass make. But what I'll say about the Tyler Bass make is he's absolutely been going through it. You know, he struggled this year, but the struggles date back to last year. I'm sure it was not easy, you know, missing that kick, being blamed for the game in Kansas City in the division round yet last year, which, by the way, I still contend was not his fault. He could have made that kick, and I still think the Bills lose that game. But I know he had a tough mental offseason, you know, trying to overcome that. And a lot of the things I'm sure he heard about himself, saw about himself on social media. So it was good for him, A, mentally to make this. And listen, I don't even really mean to make this a point about Stephon Diggs, but there is something a little different, and I can't quite put my finger on it about what is different about this locker room, about this team, about the vibes around this team. And there is, I mean, seeing Josh Allen, I don't know if anyone saw the interview. I don't know who the CBS sideline reporter was that was interviewing Josh right after the game. Josh was like tearing up. I mean, if you watch the highlight, or I guess I should say the post game in the locker room with Sean McDermott talking about, I think that's what Neil was referring to, you know, Tyler Bass. Tyler was pretty emotional himself in the locker room. And to see that emotion on all of these guys, to see the emotion from Josh Allen. This is a very tight group. It's very obvious to me that there was something about this team when Stephon Diggs was a leader. There was something about this team where it sort of felt like guys couldn't be themselves. And listen, maybe I'm reaching. I don't know. He's been a mainstay, a leader on this team for a couple of years. He's gone, and it feels a little like, I don't know. There's just some different vibes in this locker room, and it's all positive. I don't know. I feel like something to be said there. I don't know exactly what it is. Nonetheless, let's go back to the locker room. Let's hear from Bills corner Kyrie Elam. We had a fumble recovery. Probably was very close to having another a forced fumble in this game. I thought Kyrie Elam played a good game. Let's go to Kyrie Elam, and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services for your HVAC, plumbing, and electric needs.
The ones who stay strong. I thought you were handing me something.
That's okay. The ones, you can grab the mic anytime you want.
The ones who can stay strong and continue to stick to their process, I feel like it's going to pay off. So I'm super proud of Tyler, and I don't even know his words to describe how proud I am besides that word, I guess.
How did you feel, maybe you asked this, but how did you feel like today went for you overall?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I was prepared, man. I was confident. Other than that one catch of Tyreek, I feel like everything else went smooth. Just continue to just keep sharpening my sword and just continue to stay ready. So, yeah.
What does the shoulder feel like now?
I feel great, man. I'm moving straight. It just popped out of place, and doctors did a good job popping it back in place and put on a little handy-dandy brace, and I was back out there.
All right, there is Bills corner Kyrie Elam. We got one more before we hear from Josh Allen, and it's defensive tackle DaQuan Jones, who also met with the media immediately following the game in the locker room. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services for your HVAC, plumbing, and electric needs.
Daquan, obviously they had some success in the run game, but you guys had to really kind of clamp down on those last couple of drives. Just tell me kind of what you had to do there to make sure that they didn't get off late.
Yeah, I mean, really just kind of pick up our intensity, man. Try to get all 11 halves to the ball. I mean, they were doing a good job of just kind of getting angles on us early and getting up to the second level. So just really just trying to all our effort, get to the ball, try to surround it and make plays. And I thought we made one more than they did and got away with a dub.
Last couple of years, this team's lost on a couple of last-second field goals. This time, it's the other way around. 61-yarder. What are you seeing there? What are you thinking?
I mean, for T-Bath, man, to be in that situation and have that, the stadium erupt how it did and go out there so calm and collective and kick the ball. I mean, it's huge for him, especially missing that one earlier. Just him kind of rebound and come back out there and, kick a good ball. I mean, it's huge for him, huge for our team. And I have for the guy. I love the guy. And can't wait to continue to do that.
All right, that is Bills defensive tackle DaQuan Jones, and talking a little bit about the run game. Listen, they're showing the replay on TV right up here. I think it's from Red Zone of the interception that Jalen Ramsey had, and man, it couldn't have been a better throw. I mean, it's literally a perfect throw on a slant route that was going to go for a touchdown.
He stole a catch from him.
Yeah, literally. Easily. I mean, he ran the route for him essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, wow, was that an interception? Did Geno just throw a terrible red zone interception with 6 minutes left and they were going to tie? Tough. Poor Geno. He's my fantasy quarterback. It's fine. By the way, 803-0550, the number to call. If you've got any remaining thoughts, happy to take you. Happy to chat with you. We're going to go and hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen here as well. So if you missed that earlier, right after the game, we'll get you that right now. And it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services for HVAC, plumbing, and electric needs.
How are you?
Exhale.
Josh, what does it say about Tyler's mental fortitude, all he's been through this season, to be able to put that one through in a tough situation?
So proud of him. So happy for him. Got emotional in my little post-game speech out there. Just the trials and tribulations that he's been throughout this year. Obviously missing one early in the day, hitting the pole on another. He could easily put it in the tank. And 61-yard field goal to win a game against a division rival. It's what stories are made of, and I love him. I respect him so much. Everybody in that locker room is so happy for him, and he's our guy.
Can you walk us through what happens in that moment? As the kick is about to be attempted, what are you doing? We see you celebrate afterwards, but what are you doing during it? Do you watch? Do you not watch?
Oh, yeah, I watched it. Just, saying a little prayer. And as soon as it goes in, there's 5 seconds left, so I'm screaming, everybody get off the field because we got to kick off and get a play done. And our defense went out there, and Greg Rousseau executed very well.
Josh,
Josh, Morris, Hollins, and Davis all have touchdowns today. What does it say about sort of your trust in them and their ability to make it happen?
Yeah, those are three guys that just constantly do the right thing, that are in the right spot. You know, they're working their tails off. Those are also three guys that are heavy on special teams. So, you know, we know the mantra, what we've been saying each and every week since training camp. And it's just the epitome of what our offense is. And it doesn't matter who it is. It could be anybody on any given day, and that's what we saw today.
Ray only had a few touches, but I would say 90 yards. Just what was he doing that was making him so effective in his game?
I mean, just obviously you see him catching passes out of the backfield. He runs the ball so hard. You know, he just, again, knows his assignment, and he does his job, and that's all you need to do in this offense.
Keon had that drop early on that led to the interception. What were the conversations like after that? Obviously, you went back to him again, but what was that kind of like, just talking to him after that play?
Yeah, just, you know, trusting him. Third and long, biggest play of the game, throw one up for him. Obviously, we get the flag to extend the drive, but I trust him implicitly and love the guy, and hopefully he's okay.
This was the fifth time you guys have trailed at the half this season. I know you don't want to be in those positions, but you now feel comfortable in them, or at least a little bit more comfortable.
Well, we want to start fast, you know, and that's, you know, been our Achilles heel. And we feel like we're the best, our best in the third and fourth quarter, getting off to a hot start. But if we can put that out in the first and second quarter, we're going to be a tough team to beat.
To that point, it seemed like they did a lot of things with pressure and some variations there that were giving you some problems, at least in the first half until you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, it was a pretty big zone game, whether it was zone pressure or not. You know, they were really forcing us to take everything underneath and hoping that we'd mess up. And, again, just trusting the guys underneath to catch and run, and made some big plays on the play-action pass game, just checking it down. And that's what – you can be a dangerous team that way, too.
Josh, this one had a different feel than maybe the Titans game, the Seahawks game. It seemed like you had to grit it out a little bit more. What's it say when you win a game like this and maybe you didn't have your fastball?
Yeah, I mean, this game's hard. You know, the other team, they get paid as well. I'd like to be better, obviously, in the first half, and I'd like to be better in that two-minute drive. Didn't feel like, again, like you said, didn't have the fastball, but, again, just gutted it out. Mac Hollins, going back to him on two consecutive plays there on third down, too, just trusting him. So, yeah, again, it could be anybody, and our guys made some plays today that we needed.
All right, there's your QB1, Josh Allen, following tonight's 30-27 win. Couple of notes, too, from this game when you look through the score sheet. It's not a crazy game in terms of offensive stats for the Bills, even though they put up 30 points in this game. 325 yards. They got outpaced by the Dolphins in this one by 373 to 325. Ed had an extra drive, too, to boot in there, so you can keep that in consideration. Yards per play, 5.5 for the Bills, not bad today. 5.8 yards per pass. Rushing wise, just under 5 yards a rush. And, you know, the Dolphins finished at 4.8. The Bills finished at 4.9, so it ended up being pretty even when it was all said and done. A turnover aside, the Bills coming into this game with just 3 turnovers, which led the NFL. They have the best turnover differential in the NFL. They've been really protecting the football all season long. It's a big reason why they're 7-2. There's something to be said about this roster as it stands because, you know, listen, even if you were the most confident you could be about what the chances were for this team to repeat as division winners for whatever it is, the fifth straight year, there just was not necessarily the same level of confidence that I had maybe going into last year. They're a better football team than they were last year. I mean, they are. Josh, I think, is better than they were last year. I think their receiver room from top to bottom is better. Maybe not, you know, maybe there's not a Stephon Diggs, but you know, I think what they're showing is maybe you don't necessarily need a Stephon Diggs, a true number one receiver. Although, you know, I mean, you can make the case that Khalil Shakir probably is their number one receiver. Is he the best number one receiver in the league? No, but, you know, he finishes this game 6 for 50. On the year, I mean, Shakir's having a really nice season. He's going to have 1,000 yards this year if he stays healthy. He's probably going to have 80, 90 catches when it's all said and done. I still would like to see more from Dalton Kincaid. He had 4 for 32 in this game. He did have 10 targets. He led the team in targets tonight, but I'd like to see some more efficiency. The similar amount of efficiency you're getting from Khalil Shakir, I'd like to see from Dalton Kincaid as well. It'll be good to see what they can do when Amari Cooper's back in the lineup, you know, missing today with a wrist injury. Obviously, the same can be said on the other side with Christian Benford. So both guys, I think, were missed today. You know, listen, I don't know how much you're going to slow down the short passing game of the Miami Dolphins. I partially want to tell you, too, that the game plan of letting them run the football and dink and dunk down the field, I mean, that kind of was the game plan. It's what they wanted them to do, and kind of hoping that they'll make a big mistake. And Tua, unlike their first matchup in week two, did not make the big mistake. And it's what kept them close in this game. It's what really, frankly, got them up several times in this game. So Tua, I mean, you look at the numbers, it was probably his best game of the year. I mean, he's going to end up leading the week, I think, out of quarterbacks in QBR, 89.4 in this game, which is, I think he came into this game at 36.8, which is the lowest QBR of his career, a passer rating in this game of almost 125, 124.9. It was his best performance of the season, and, you know, only this is his fourth start of the season. But, yeah, all in all, they did quite a bit, I think, to... Devon Achane is a really special player. 12 carries, 63 yards and a score, and then 8 catches for 58 yards and a score in this game on 8 targets. He's a special player. He's going to continue to get better. That really is, to me, a guy that, you know, long-term wise, it's going to be a heck of a player in this league, and has really eaten the Bills. He's averaging 84 yards on the ground per game before this game. Finished with 63, so that number will come down a little bit, but total yardage, he's averaging over 100 yards a game when you combine rushing and receiving, and that's certainly only going to get more after this game, after putting a combined 115 yards in total, 114 yards in this game. So another great game from Achane. Just wasn't enough. And then Odell Beckham, I knew that Odell Beckham played for the Miami Dolphins, but I'm not sure I really remembered. He's cooked. He stinks. He's got nothing left in the tank. Luckily, Von Miller didn't get his way, and he didn't end up in Buffalo somehow. But we do have a couple of finals. I believe the 4 o'clock window is officially over. I lied. It's not over. We are still about 4 minutes left, 3 minutes left in this Seahawks and Rams game. Somehow the Seahawks have the ball back again, even though Geno Smith, I believe, threw a third interception. So they're still down 20-13. But the other ones did go final. The Eagles somehow pulled a victory out of the jaws of defeat, 28-23. The Jaguars had the ball deep in Philadelphia territory and did not score. So that game ended, and the Jaguars go to 2-7 and would think that Doug Peterson, eventually they have to fire Doug Peterson. I don't know when that'll happen, but it feels like that should probably come sooner rather than later. But yeah, that one. And then the other late window game, 24-14, was the final in Green Bay. The Lions beat the Packers. All right, timeout, other side. We're going to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott, and we'll cap things off with Bills kicker Tyler Bass as well. So don't go anywhere here on the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show on WGR.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.